one final time, at least for this series, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. While you're standing, just a couple of things to help you to know what our schedule is like over the summer. First of all, as you know, we're in transition in our children's department, and we are continuing to work diligently on finding a children's pastor, and I believe that that will happen. I have full confidence in the Lord for that. As a result of that, though being in transition, we are needing to give our volunteers a break over the summer, and especially, particularly, and specifically on Wednesday nights. We're going to try our best to keep our nurseries active. Our youth workers have little ones, and there are adults who will come to prayer meeting, which we will continue, who have little ones, but there will be no other children's ministry activities over the weeks of summer. And then we will have a kickoff for the fall, the end of July, with our Kids Crusade, and we will kick the year off in that way. And so I just want you to know what's going on. It's we're doing our best. Our workers are working diligently with our children, but even our best volunteers need a little bit of a break through, and we're going to give them that through the summer. You know, one of the things we do need right now is a couple of you, two or three or four or more, who would be willing to serve on Wednesday nights in the nursery. That is an essential thing. And if you can give some of your time to these precious smaller children and babies, it would be a blessing to some of our parents. Our youth will continue to meet as usual. I don't think Jacob, being new on the scene, would want to not meet. And so the plans are to meet with our youth. And so I just pray that you would continue to pray for us and help us as we work through the summer and get ready for our fall ministry, hopefully with a full staff, youth and children. I'm going to speak for Wendy. She's probably in the nursery this morning, but I'm just going to pause and say this. We need some volunteers to serve in the nursery on Sundays. We have whole sections of a rotation that are completely blank, and then Wendy goes, our director, so she's in church an awful, she's in nursery an awful lot. So I don't often give a pitch for volunteers, take my sermon time to do that, but your volunteering for that ministry would be a huge blessing to our church, our children, and to Wendy and her husband, who I think are serving together today. Well, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity to worship today. Lord, we ask a lot. I ask a lot from this congregation, and many serve faithfully. And so I just want to take a moment on the heels of my request to thank you for each person who gives in our church, who serves faithfully. Thank you for these volunteers in the children's department who have served faithfully all year long, and they have labored, and now they get a little sabbatical over the summer. Would you rest them and prepare them as we begin to gear up for our fall season? Bless the reading of your word just now, and help us, Lord, to hear what you have to say. May none of us walk out of this place without an awareness that you have spoken deep into our spirit something that will change us and make us more like you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, thank you for letting me speak toward that end just for a few moments. And I want to read our text we've been reading for a few weeks now. This is Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 13, where we're talking about the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to finish this series off this morning. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Israel, and when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." I won't read all of the languages. I'm going to skip down to verse number 12, where we read, "They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, 'They're just drunk.'" That's all. I am losing my hearing. I know you thought I was going to say I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my hearing. Every year at the state fair, Jamie and I go to the state fair with some friends, and there are two displays there where they check your hearing. So I go to one to figure out what's wrong, and I go to the other to confirm what's wrong. It's just the way I operate. And every year, my hearing gets worse and worse. I don't really know if it's getting worse and worse, or they want to sell me hearing aids. But I think I'm losing my hearing. I think part of it's genetics. Ever since I was 20 or 21 or 22, I've had a ringing in my ears. Maybe I am losing my mind. I think it's selective. I do have selective hearing, you know, when I hear clean the bathroom, what? Empty the trash, what? I do perk up when I hear the letters D and Q in consecutive order. I pick up on that. Pretty good. But I'm losing my hearing, and it's part of the aging process. And I want to finish up our study on the Holy Spirit this morning by talking about hearing the word of the Lord. I don't know if you see this or not yourself, but we live in a day and age and in a culture that's really loud. That's words and noises and distractions, they abound. All the while, the word of the Lord is attempting to speak into and through all of that to get our attention. The story of Acts in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, has a lot to tell us about hearing the word of the Lord. I want to just walk through this real quick, real briefly. Historically, we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and again in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, where Jesus told the disciples that they were to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that a lot, so I don't have to go into it. You know, when we read this story, I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I like to focus on the supernatural because I am waiting, I am anticipating, I am praying toward God working in the supernatural because that's where He operates. We sort of dwell in the natural because we have this thing called the flesh, and it's hard for us to think in ways above the flesh, above that supernatural, but God is on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God did back then, He can do today. I just happen to believe that. So I'm looking for the supernatural. I'm not real good at it. I'll confess to you, too often my eyes are lower than they ought to be, and I'm learning to pick up my head. Where does my help come from? My help doesn't come from the mountains, but that direction gets me focused on Jesus. Lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. The King James Version. I like that word. Look up. I'm looking for the supernatural, but here's the reality. I said all that to say this. The reality is that had the disciples not listened and obeyed the word of Jesus, Pentecost, as we understand it, would never have occurred. I mean, I just think about my own life and what I have missed from the Lord, the things that He's teaching me and wanting me to do and what to say, the things I've been too distracted by to hear the word of the Lord. I wonder what I have missed. Just imagine, church, if we had missed Pentecost because the disciples had not listened to the word and then obeyed the word. So when we think of the supernatural, when we think of God doing things in our family, right? Our marriages, our kids, our finances, our health, our community, our church, all these things going on. When we think of God doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, when we focus on what God could do, we need to remind ourselves that to get there, we need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to learn how to do that, and then we have to do it. We have to do it. I am not necessarily saying that the voice of God is audible. I've never heard the audible voice of the Lord. It would have come in handy an awful lot in my life if I'd heard an audible voice. It would have scared me to death, but it would have helped. I have talked to people who insist they have heard an of the Lord. I'm not going to argue that because here's the way I look at it. The creator of the universe is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to talk to you in an audible voice, he can do that. If he doesn't want to do that, he doesn't have to do that. So, you know, we sort of bicker and complain and argue over these things, but I just have this simplified, basic understanding of God that he is God and God can do whatever he wants. But I've not had that personal experience. He speaks to me through his word. He speaks in my conscience, in my heart. You know, he helps me as I grow in him and develop my relationship with him. My conscience is more and more purified from glory to glory. He changes me so that when I go about my day, the decisions that I make and the things that I think about are just automatically godly. I'm not trying to tout myself, and I'm not saying I'm good at it, but my goal is to live so close to Jesus that every decision I make is a decision Jesus would make. That's my goal. That's my goal. Obeying the Lord. When Jamie and I were raising our kids, our church, the church where we were at the time, did a study, a parenting study, called Growing Kids God's Way. It's about a 16-week deal in on Sunday afternoons, right, babe? Sunday afternoons for an hour and a half or more video and then discussion. And one of the things they push in Growing Kids God's Way is this thing called first-time obedience. How many of you have heard of it before? How many of you want it for your kids? Okay, you scared me a little bit. It was a trick question. We were training, understanding how to train our kids the value of listening and obeying immediately. So in that type of training, our kids became quite adept. Not perfect, because Jamie and I aren't perfect. Well, Jamie's perfect. I'm not quite as perfect, but we're not perfect parents. Our children aren't perfect children, but they became quite adept at first-time obedience. And it was a process. We trained them, and it was trial and error. But we tried our best to alleviate the countdown. How many know what I'm talking about? The countdown. I don't know why countdowns always begin at 1 and end at 3. Like 3 is a bad, bad, bad number. But we tried to teach our kids the value of first-time obedience, and if they didn't get it the first time, there we had a come-to-Jesus meeting. And I think sometimes we were closer to Jesus than we thought, right? And one of the things that brings value to that is value to respect, and it helped our home a lot, and they're all, I don't have time to talk about that, so I won't, but the point is, I remember an illustration in that video class we took. The author and speaker was telling about a young mom who believed that first time obedience saved the life of her little daughter. She said they were working on first-time obedience, and the little 3 or 4-year-old was doing well and making progress. And one day she was out in the yard playing with a ball and became unaware of her surroundings and began getting closer and closer to the street. She wasn't being disobedient. She was oblivious, and she walked into the street, and the ball rolled out into the street about the time the mother looked up and saw the ball rolling out into the street and saw a car coming at a high rate of speed. And as any mom would, she screamed out, "Stop!" And her little daughter stops dead in her tracks as the car whizzed by. And in the testimony, the mother attributed training first-time obedience, training her daughter to stop when mom speaks, because she exercised the muscles of first-time obedience. Repeated exposure to the practice of listening and obeying the word of the Lord, whether it's in written form, preacher form, spirit form, is key to experiencing the blessings and the movement and the supernatural work of God. I was reading this morning in my devotions. It comes from Oswald Chambers, and I thought it was appropriate, and I'll just read it. Oswald Chambers says, "As we grow spiritually, we live so fully aware of God that we do not even need to ask what His will is, because the thought of choosing another way will never occur to us. If we're saved and sanctified, God guides us by our everyday choices. And if we're about to choose what He does not want, He will give us a sense of doubt and restraint, which we must heed. Whenever there is doubt, stop at once." My dad used to coin this phrase. I don't know if he got it from someone else, but it's, "When in doubt, don't." Good line. I want to give you some handles on steps to the supernatural. It may not be the best title, but I'm focusing on the end product. If we're looking for God to work in supernatural ways in our family, in our life, and we're talking about a church, supernatural in our church, in our youth department, in our children, and in our families, in our community, these are steps to the supernatural that I want to share with you. And there are 3 points that I want to give to you as we think about hearing the word of the Lord getting us to a supernatural place. And number one is this, and I've already mentioned it. First time obedience is key. I don't know about you, but learning to obey the Lord when He speaks and obey immediately saves a whole lot of life trouble. I can remember when I was a young husband, younger than I am now. And there's this little passage of scripture where we're admonished as husbands that if we want God to hear our prayers, we need to treat our wives properly. And I can remember, I wish I could say one time, but there have been more than one time where I crossways with Jamie or said something unkind or my spirit was convicted and I was you know, young and full of pride and I heard the Lord say, "If you want me to answer," I was be in my devotional time, "If you want me to answer your prayer, you need to go make things right with Jamie." And as a mature pastor, a man of God, I would say, "Well, I don't want to do that." It didn't take me long to recognize that if I put that off, it wasn't going to go well for me in my spirit and in our relationship. So one of the things that I learned early on in our relationship with Jamie is, if something's wrong, make it right, because if this is right, this is right. First time obedience. I have a question for you this morning. What's God speaking to you about? What's who is He telling you to go talk to? What's He asking you to give to? What What relationship is he wanting you to repair? What act of obedience is he moving you toward? You know, I have found in my life that until we listen to what God says right now, he's not going to speak to us much about anything beyond that until we take care of right now. And remember this, God is a God of grace. We go to him and we think, well, it's been a year or it's been 3 months and I've been ignoring God. And so we resist the Lord because of our own pride and because of our own shame. But listen, those are the lies of the enemy. And if us folks who are believers can understand that we can come to God at any point and take care of right here, God will take care of that if we confess it and deal with it. And the door is open for what's next. How many of you are ready for what's next? Some of you are living in what's next because you're close to Jesus. Let me just tell you what. Keep on plowing away, trusting in the Lord, going on to the next step. We need to practice first time obedience, for when God speaks, it's for a reason. Number two is this. Immediate obedience builds our faith. I love this story. I'm glad it wasn't Tim on this day, but we read in Acts chapter 2 when the supernatural event was taking place, we read in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2 that Peter stepped forward. So I was contemplating that phrase this week. Peter stepped forward. He stepped forward. I can't prove it. But I'm thinking of when Peter was hearing the words of Jesus, who said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go there and do that. And Peter said, okay, I'll do that. He and the disciples, that 120, they went, they obeyed Jesus. They listened, they obeyed Jesus, and they followed through. And then God came through in a marvelous way. And I got to thinking, I wonder if that boosted up Peter's faith. I wonder if he saw God work out of his initial act of obedience, and when the crowd started talking and the ridicule started coming and they saw the supernatural work of God, I wonder if that just boosted Peter's faith, so that when he had an opportunity and he heard the Holy Spirit whisper in his ear, I want you to preach to these people, Peter said, well, God did it one time before, he'll do it now, and he stepped forward. You know, there's a lot of folks, you know, fear, I say this all the time, fear is a tool that Satan uses to suppress the church of Jesus Christ. It's almost a curse that we don't have to carry around. I have some fears. God is breaking them off. Thanks be to the Lord. I have way less fear today than I had 30 years ago, 20 years ago, or 10 years ago. So I'm a work in progress also. But I think fear is one of the things that keeps the church from stepping forward. And I tell you what, church, if you'll just trust the Lord, if God's speaking to you young people, if God's speaking to you children that were up here a moment ago, you young adults, you moms and dads, if he's planting a seed in your heart, if he's been speaking to you about things in your family or your circumstances or your job or the way that you speak or the way that you live your life in a lifestyle fashion, if we would just be obedient and trust him and watch him do the supernatural, when he comes along again, your faith will be strong, it will be built up, and you'll have courage to be just like Peter and step forward. The world needs folks like us to be willing to step forward, to answer the call to ministry or whatever it is. Well, the result of the supernatural work of God got mixed reviews. So some of the people in verse 12 said, you know, what is this that has happened? Right? Well, and then there was this other group. These were the skeptics. These were the ones who said, man, those guys are just drunk. They've gotten started early up there in the upper room. I just want to point out that it's true. It's something that we all have to deal with. Some of us have been hurt by it. And I want to point out that the skeptics were those who were there for religious purposes. They were part of the religious crowd. They were there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Now, there could have been others in that group of people who were not followers, but there were thousands there, and perhaps many of them had a disdainful view. It was new. It was fresh. It was change. And whenever God moves, there will always be skeptics. None of us like a skeptic. Keeps folks in the background. Keeps folks from stepping forward. But I think that Peter and the other disciples had been emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it stemmed from the fact that they were living in complete obedience to God. We're talking about being able to hear the word of the Lord, how to hear it and act on it, and it starts by first-time obedience. And when we take that first step, the supernatural, we get closer to it because our faith rises and God moves us on to the next thing. One of my favorite stories is found in Acts chapter 26. This is the story of Philip, the young evangelist who was doing mighty things for the Lord. You'll read about him in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, this little section. The angel of the Lord told Philip to go along this path and head in that direction, and so he did. And that's the story where Philip ran into the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that story? And there the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the word of God. He was not a believer in Jesus, but he was interested. And Philip came along and said, "Hey, you need some help understanding what you're reading." And he invited him up on his fancy chariot. And Philip helped him understand the word of God. And then they passed this body of water. And Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch right then and there. Let me tell you what, church. One of the most exciting things for us to ponder is if we are willing to step forward and hear the word of the Lord and learn to hear the word of the Lord and learn to obey at the get-go and allow our faith to be strengthened, God's going to put you in the path of some people who need to hear about Jesus, and you're just the one to share it with them. Come on, church. This is a great illustration of a servant of God, obedient to the voice of God, to live out the purpose of God for a supernatural work of God. Don't you want to be a part of that? Hearing the voice of the Lord. Here's number three. I think if we're going to step into the supernatural, not only does it require obedience and a strong and growing faith that comes from obedience, but we have to expect and understand interference. The disciples and the early church had all kinds of interference. I got to thinking this week, I was reading the passages of Scripture that are assigned today for this Sunday out of the lectionary. Sometimes I'll use the lectionary to give me attraction as I prepare my sermons. The lectionary is a set reading of passages for a given day of the week, and every Sunday there are these set passages of Scripture. And so one of the passages of Scripture for this Sunday in 2018, June 3, is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is another one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and it spoke right into this message. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, as we prepare to close this service down. I want us to look at this wonderful story where Samuel is hearing from the Lord for the first time. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So here's the backstory. Hannah, Samuel's mother, Hannah prayed. She was barren. She couldn't have children. So she began to pray, "God, give me a child. Please, God, give me a child. God, if you give me a child, I will surrender him to the priest or the pastor or the church or the temple. Please, no one pray that prayer, all right? I love kids, but I'm done raising children." But Hannah was all about it, and she God gave her this child, and she named him Samuel. And sure enough, when he was weaned from mom, he went to live in the temple. And when you're reading the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we are reading that he was serving the Lord by assisting Eli, who is the priest. So there he is. He's a young boy. We read there that Samuel was being faithful. I mean, this will preach in many different ways. But Samuel was serving the Lord, and it says in verse 7 that he didn't know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Because we read earlier that in verse 1 that the messages from the Lord were very rare. So Samuel was living in a place as a young man where the word of the Lord was rare. So he wasn't even expecting anything. So we read he was in the temple sleeping that night. And the Lord came, we read in verse 10, the Lord came and called Samuel. He called him several times, and Samuel would go to Eli the priest and say, "Hey, what do you want?" Because Samuel thought Eli was the one talking. And finally, Eli gets it together, and he says, "I want you to go back. And when you hear the voice again, just say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" I choose this passage of Scripture for this point about interference because right out of this passage, there are elements of interferences that I want to just highlight, because whenever we're trying to hear the Lord, there will always be interferences that will drown out His voice. So first, I would say this, if you're taking prayer, is more about listening than speaking. Samuel said, "Here I am, Lord, speak. I'm listening." I don't know about you, but I love to pray. I love to gather people and pray. I love concerts of prayer. I enjoy that. But it's interesting that God has been speaking to me quite a bit these days about the value of prayer, certainly, but the value of listening to His voice. One of the interferences, it seems counterintuitive, but one of the hindrances to hearing from the Lord is that our mouth is always moving. And if we don't discipline ourselves to silence and hear the word of the Lord, we will miss it sometimes. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 10, says, "Be still and know that I am God." If you want a great discipline, take some time this week, carve out a couple of hours, and just sit in His presence and don't say a word. It can be painful, but God has something to say to us. Number two, I would say that sometimes the voice of the Lord isn't comfort and light, but it involves drastic change. Verse 11, the Lord says to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel." Some of the versions say, "I'm about ready to do things that will make the ears of Israel tingle." Have you ever noticed that sometimes when God speaks, that what He wants us to do is not all that comfortable all the time? Any of you ever experienced that? Three of you, that's good, same three. And you know, I know that a lot of times you agree and don't raise your hand, I understand that. But if we don't really understand that, that God speaks to us and sometimes it's painful, I have a feeling that we haven't spent long enough in the presence of Jesus hearing what He's got to say to us. Because oftentimes the word of the Lord is intended to grow us and change us into His image. And if we're not taking time to listen to Him, we're way too comfortable. Sometimes the voice of the Lord isn't comfortable and light. Number three, sometimes our life circumstances can affect our fear. And Eli was a situation. He had been the priest. The word of the Lord had long gone. We read in chapter 2, verse 12, that his sons were scoundrels. In verse 22, it says he was very old. There's nothing wrong with being very old, but he'd become so old that his vision for Israel had become old along with it. He was blind, so he was tired. He was visually impaired. He had aches and pains, and he was struggling. And the reality is, as he was laying there on his bed, all of the issues of his life kept him from hearing the word of the Lord. And it was a troubled thing for him. The reality is that maybe some of you, when you walked into this worship center today, were struggling a little bit because of their issues in the way, and it's hard to hear from the Lord, or even right now. You had a spat with your spouse. Your mom made you mad. You have a diagnosis you don't want to hear. I mean, we could go on and on. But the good news is that God can take our brokenness. And if we give it to Him, if we focus on Him, He will help us hear Him when we surrender those things over to Him. Barbara Brown, in her book, When God is Silent, which is a great book when it just seems that God isn't speaking. She says, sometimes I think all of my worrying about the bills, my health, my family, my life, my death, and the universe, all of that is what I worry about to avoid saying in the middle of the night, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. She says, I'm so afraid that I will hear something or that I won't hear something, and I don't give God the chance. I believe as we work through our life and we struggle with hearing the word of the Lord, I think God is trying to draw us into His presence so that we can hear Him better. We can hear His encouragement. We can hear His instruction so He can move us into a place where He can use us for supernatural purposes. I'd like you to stand, if you would, with me this morning. The fourth point is this, that sometimes we don't get the message that we intend to get. You know, we in the holiness movement, in respect to the Holy Spirit, we sometimes have this idea that God is going to come into our life and He's going to look around inside our lives after we yield ourselves to Him. He's going to get in there and He's going to look around and He's going to say to us, well, they just need to replace the flooring and paint the walls. A little shuffling around the furniture and everything's good and we're glad Jesus is in there. Until we go about our life and one day we look out of the window of our heart and we see a wrecking ball. And God recognizes that our foundations are out of sorts, and He needs to begin working on the foundation and do a completely new remodel of our life. One of our greatest needs in the body of Christ is that we have to become willing and receptive to the voice of Jesus, because when He's speaking to us, it's for a purpose. And His purpose is to renovate us from the inside out so that we can operate and move and serve and live for His glory and honor. I'd like you to bow your head, if you would, just for a moment. Father, these messages of your Holy Spirit have convicted me in many ways. Thank you for your desire to speak into your people. God, we're gathered here today as the body of Christ. We're getting ready to leave and go off to lunch and do whatever we're going to do today. And I pray, Father, that each of my brothers and sisters in this room will take the moment to evaluate what it is you're speaking into us. So I'd ask you again, church, as we bow in His presence, what is God saying to you? What is He asking of you? What has He been asking of you? What did he ask you weeks, months, or even years ago? God, I pray that you would help us to live in complete obedience to you. You so long to have an intimate relationship. We so need our ears tweaked. We need a sound check so that we can hear you better and live more fully in the joy of the Lord. God, as we leave this place, help us to be sensitive to you. Help us to live in perfect obedience. Help us not to be swayed by the issues and circumstances of life. God, as we depart, I pray that even this week, you'll catch us listening for you, and that you'll give us courage and strength to obey. We thank you, Father, and we ask all of these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great afternoon.